Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas y el satélite.
Good afternoon to all those who are connected through the Amazonas satellite and the Eutelsat satellite in the different countries. And a warm greeting to missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin as well. Today, Friday, October 17 of this year, 2025. We read in the book of Prophet Isaiah in chapter 60, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And there he draws a cornerstone on the left, and the ages, and after glory," he writes, Revelation 10 from 1 to 11, that is the coming of the mighty angel. And he also writes, 19 from 11 to 21, which is that white horse rider, whose name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For he stands as lion, as king, in his claiming work. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. And there he draws a star of David on the left. It's already time to be in the safe place. That is the subject that we have for this occasion of today, Friday, October 17 of this year, 2025. You may please be seated if you're so kind. In the message which he titled, Time to Be in the Safe Place, similar to the subject that we will be listening to today, this was preached on March 26 of 2010 in Valencia, Venezuela. And Dr. William Soto says there, just like each stage of the church was the safe place which is founded upon the rock, at this end time, the safe place in the mystical body of Christ is the age of the cornerstone, is the messianic age as well, and therefore, it is the age for the coming of the cornerstone, the coming of the Lord at the last day. In the book of quotations on page 42, Reverend William Branham shows us there, in this excerpt of page 42, paragraph 345, there he shows us the order of his coming, and he says, Matthew 17, all right. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John in a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. He was transfigured. What did he do? Passed himself into transformation over to his coming day. Now, notice, if he was transfigured, Luke also says that his countenance was altered. And if it was altered, then that face had to change. Remember that God is a God that changes, God in morphe. It says, let's find it in Luke. Luke 9. Luke 9:29. Look, it says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glittering. Now, if his countenance, his appearance, was altered, that's because it changed. And what they were seeing there was his form and his countenance in his second coming. Now, remember that John was there. John represents the church. Therefore, John would be seeing the order of his coming, and he would be identifying him as the one through whom God would be fulfilling his second coming. That face would be familiar to him by then. Now, look, it says, they taken Jesus up on the mountain, or he taken them up, and he was transfigured before them, transformed. His raiment shined like the sun in the middle of its strength. And there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah. What form is the Son of Man coming in now? And first will appear, will be Moses and Elijah. Now notice, before Jesus returns to the earth, now this is a little ahead of time, but the spirit of Elijah will return back to the earth and turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. The Bible said so. Jesus saw him here. The apostles saw him here. The order of the coming of the Son of Man glorified. He is to be glorified and coming back. First thing before they saw him, what was? Elijah. Then what? Moses, Israel, returning yonder, the law keepers. And then the glorified Son of Man. Hallelujah. Do you see the order of his coming? And he writes there, the coming of the Son of Man glorified. And he also writes above, adoption. He draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left, and he writes, Moses and Elijah equals the coming of the kingdom. Now, notice the order of his coming. Some will be able to see Elijah. Then they will be able to see a ministry like that of Moses, because it has to be a dispensational messenger. And then they will see that ministry of Jesus. But all three will be in one instrument. Now, he continues saying here, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, his church is the one to whom he will come at the last day, and he will come in that stage that represents Christ, the stage of the age of the cornerstone. The cornerstone will come. That is the place where we will be safe at this end time, at the last day. It's time to be in the safe place. In Christ, the rock, in the stage of the church relevant to our time. In the unedited book of the ages on page 513, and in the booklet, it corresponds to page 26. Reverend William Branham tells us there. It will be paragraph 138 from the unedited book of the ages of that page 513, he says. Over in this place, then he saw the coming or the rehearsal. And what was the first thing he saw? The first thing he saw in the coming was Moses, represented the dead saints, that would be resurrected. Elijah was standing there. Oh, I want you to notice what will take place. There was Moses first. That's all these six ages that they slept, six church ages. Not only that, but Elijah was there, the messenger of the last day with his group, of the transfigured, the raptured. Amen. Now in the future, awaiting the coming. Now, remember that the Elijah, who at the end of time will be with his group to be raptured, was representing, typifying the fourth Elijah there. But that was not the ministry that would be in the midst of his church, where the Lord would carry out the fulfillment of the resurrection and the transformation. It would be the ministry of Elijah, but in its fifth manifestation. Now, he goes on to say, and what did they all? All had gathered with him. Oh my, what was it? His promise to Peter, James, and John was fulfilled. That's right, because he said, some standing here will not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And they seen the rehearsal of it. Then, after this, after the resurrection, and there on the left, he writes upwards, the coming of the kingdom, the coming of the Son of Man. Dr. William Soto continues to say here, he says, Christ, the capstone or cornerstone, will be visiting His church, His people, at this time. And we have to be in Christ like Moses was, to be able to see the glory of God walk by, and to see the manifestation of the Son of Man in the midst of His church, and thus be upon the rock, which is Christ at the last day. In this same message, Revelation chapter 4, part 1, but in page 574 of the Ages, unedited, it corresponds to 28. Five fourteen of the Book of the Ages, unedited, where he starts to say here in the booklet, it's 28, and he says, "There was a voice that called him." Oh, that voice. Oh, I cannot get away from that voice of that one behind him. Then he looked around there, and he showed him the church ages, because he was standing in the church ages, the seven golden candlestick. Then he heard that voice after the church ages ceased. That voice left the earth, went up. When he got into glory, he heard him say, "Come up here. I am going to show you what's going to happen from hereafter. Oh my." And he draws a cornerstone on the right, and he writes there, "The voice left the earth, the ages. He went into glory, into the most holy place." And that pertains to the age of the cornerstone, which is the safe place at this end time. That voice. Let's speak on that voice a minute. I got some scriptures wrote down here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and just listen over here what this voice is going to say. Oh, we all know what it's going to say. Before we read it, don't we? We know what's going to happen. "The trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise." And above the trumpet of God, he writes, "The thunders." Is that right? You who are putting it down, the 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, that voice is the voice of Christ. Is that right? The voice of Christ. "For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and forever be with the Lord." The same voice that summoned John, "Come up." The same voice that said to John, "Come up," is the same voice that will summon the church someday. Amen. Summons the church. And he writes on the right, "Rapture." Also, the same voice that summoned John to come up is the same voice that summoned dead Lazarus out of the grave. That same voice of the archangel. See? Oh, that trumpet voice of Christ summoned John to come up. The same voice summoned Lazarus. Did you notice at the grave of Lazarus, he spoke with a loud voice, not just said, "Lazarus, come forth." That is, in a low voice. "Lazarus, come forth." It summoned him from the dead. That is, it was a loud voice. And he writes there to the left, "Voice of Archangel, the resurrection and rapture." Remember, when in chapter 5, verse 25 of John, he said there that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, of the Son of God, and they will rise. Let's see, on page, or chapter 5, verse 25 of the Gospel according to John, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And above the voice of the Son of God, he had written in flesh. In other words, it is in the flesh that he would be thundering those thunders and calling into fulfillment everything relevant to the resurrection and also to the transformation. Now, recently, on Wednesday evening, I was informed of the departure of our brother Miguel Elizondo Vargas, who departed with the Lord on Wednesday evening. And we express our condolences to the entire family. He is one of the, there are many of them, his brother of Elizondo, and of Isaac, and of several, there are several siblings. And he was a pastor of a church as well. So, notice, our brother Miguel will hear the voice, that voice of Archangel, and he will resurrect. He will be with us again, enjoying the blessings that God has for all who believe in Him. Now, when that time is taking place, already in the final stage of the seventh seal, we will be seeing a people who are already prepared, which is the church bride already with that rapturing phase, where they will already have the complete knowledge of what will be carried out those days, because they will know what they have to do. Look, when the Lord was crucified in His first coming, they scattered. Some went fishing, others went about to their business. They didn't have the knowledge of what they had to be doing. And then, notice, when He tells them what to do, they then waited those 10 days after He had appeared to them several times. But notice that there was a time in which they didn't know what to do until He later told them to stay there in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. In other words, He told them what they had to do. But in the second coming of the Lord, that people, that group of chosen ones, will have the fullness in them, because for God to fill those vessels of His elect, they must first be free of everything from the world, and that way God can empty Himself completely in those elect of God. Therefore, during those days, they won't be turning to the things of the world, and they won't say, well, this is over now, let's continue with our chores. Those days will be very important, where they will already know what to do. And they will also be able to access that dimension, and those who were not ready yet will be ready then. In other words, it will be a few days, 3.5 days of, as if to say, let's call it, of the last, of the final test. But by then, they will be ready to receive God's fullness. They will be able to see the event of the resurrection, and they will be able to be transformed when they see them. That is the only people from Genesis to Revelation whom we see would have that promise that while they are alive would have that change of body. Now, how will they know? How will the elect know that they are going to be transformed? You will see. You will realize yourself that in those days there will be nothing left in you that needs to be removed for the manifestation of God to come. In other words, you will be ready, prepared, and if there's a thing or two, it will be removed then, because it will be a very difficult time, but of joy and gladness for the elect, because they know what the next step will be. They will be able to see beforehand, minute by minute, in other words, a countdown to the coming of that change of their body. That is why what he says will also be completely fulfilled there, that it won't miss by even a minute. Therefore, every child of God, elect of God, will know exactly when the transformation of their body will be. You will see how all of this will be fulfilled in a simple way. Now, look, he goes on to say here, and he answered, that is Lazarus, here am I. And he come from the dead after he was dead and his body rotten. That same voice said to John, come up here. I will show you some things that's fixing to happen. And he draws a cornerstone on the right. That same voice that shall sound when the dead in Christ shall rise, for the trumpet. The trumpet. What is a trumpet? The voice of Christ. The same one sounded and summoned him. He heard the voice, like a trumpet sound, and said, come up hither. See how the resurrection will be? It'll be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that clear sounding voice, and he'll summon the church, calling, come out of it, that great summoning voice. God help me to hear it that day. Meaning, both those who would depart, like him, notice, brother, Reverend William Branham departed, and he will hear it when that call is made, because he is hearing it now. But it's a stage for the church bride. When the resurrection phase comes, that will be for them. And they will hold on to that part that is for them, and they will be resurrected. But there's a series of events that will be carried out first, because they told Brother Branham over there that he would be judged. Therefore, there must be a judgment first, as there was in the time of Jesus. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, now he's going to read the scripture of Luke. He says, in Luke, Christ also says, chapter 21, verse 34 and on, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts will be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And now, for this end time, we have to be upon the rock, which is Christ, in the mystical body of Christ, in the stage relevant to the coming of the Son of Man, to stand before the Son of Man, and the promise of the coming of the Son of Man for the last day belongs to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that promise is to be fulfilled in the stage of the age of the cornerstone, that is where all the believers in Christ at the last day will stand before the Son of Man. Those who will be found worthy to escape all these things, all these divine judgments of the great tribulation which will come upon the human race. In the message, as the eagle steereth her nest, he tells us on page 21 of this message, he says, Lot was a righteous man, the Bible declares, but the sins of his people and of Sodom vexed his righteous soul daily, as it does the hearts of the true sons of God today. Lot had seen the perversion and the misuse of the human body. Dope addicts, drunkards, and juvenile delinquents, but Lot's kinfolk mocked at him, and they wouldn't believe him. Oh, I can hear them laugh at Lot, saying, how can a great city like Sodom be destroyed with all its might and power and super scientific advancements? And they are saying the same things today. How can the world be destroyed by fire? How can it come to an end? On and on they prattled. My dear brothers, I will tell you how it will go out. The same word that spoke the world into existence will speak it out of existence by the word of the Lord. It was spoken into existence, and by the word of the Lord, it will be spoken out of existence. And here he writes, in this margin, on the left, upwards. Let's see here. It's a bit faded here. On this page 21, let's see here. So we can see, we can read that part here that the destruction of the world by the spoken word of Elohim. In other words, it was Elohim who spoke about that destruction there in Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, was by the spoken word. And it will be through the spoken word of Elohim in his second coming that the judgment will be spoken upon all nations. Now, he goes on to say, God, be merciful to this poor, wretched, blind, miserable nation. It has become rich and increased with goods, but it's naked before God and knows it not. What a pitiful sight. Now, where it says, by the word of the Lord, it will be spoken out of existence. And there he writes, Revelation 11, 3 and on, and 19, 11 to 21, 17, and 14, 14 to 20. All of that is the coming of that mighty angel and the coming of the white horse rider and all those scriptures, the coming of Moses and Elijah, all of that corresponds to the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. Now, that is the generation that will be seen, all of that being fulfilled. Now, look, he goes on to say, let us look at what took place before Sodom was crushed by God. I want you to notice that Sodom was blotted out by fire, and in Noah's time, the world was blotted out with water. God made a covenant with men. He would not destroy the world by water again, but he made no covenant with men concerning the fire. And he writes there to the left, with fire. Therefore, he can destroy the world by fire and not break his word. Peter the Apostle saw this and spoke of it. Before God would destroy Sodom, he sends his angel to warn Abraham. And he writes there to the left, he writes, Elohim. Why? Because Abraham was one who lived by the word and kept the word. That is how the angels come to man, because they keep God's word. Three angels came to Abraham and told him, a godly prophet of God, that God would destroy Sodom. Watch the reason for this three angels' visit. They were bringing the news of the last warning of destruction, and the angels left Abraham's place and went on to Sodom to tell Sodom of the pending judgment. Of the pending judgment. Sodom, in return, laughed at the angels, and even sought to do evil to the angels. Look, that is the same as the modern Sodom and all those human beings who have the spirits of those fallen angels who are from the fifth dimension. They laugh, they mock, because that's the only thing, the only ones who can do that are those evil spirits of the fifth dimension, incarnate in human beings. That is why, on page 359 of the Book of the Seals, there he tells us that they had heard all those things that those prophets had said. 369 of the Book of the Seals. He says, notice the last verse of the sixth seal opened. Those who had laughed at the preaching of the word of the vindicated word of the living God. Notice the same thing that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Elohim and his angels were there, Gabriel and Michael, who represents Moses and Elijah, and they laughed and mocked. And it's the same now. Notice, they are the same spirits in different characters, which is what you have been seeing from some time now. Something that was not seen before. Remember that everything is parallel, and the characters must be there to fulfill those prophecies, because no prophecy will fall to the ground, and each individual will carry out his role, and each individual will carry it out the way it was already prophesied. Those who are going to receive the coming of the Son of Man will receive him, because the coming is for them, for those who await him. As for the rest, well, they will act the way that people did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the days of Moses, in the days of Jesus, all those who were against him. But then, now you will see them in present-day fulfillment in modern human beings, modern faces, and everything modern. And their actions and things will be in the present-day fulfillment, in a modern day. And if there is technology, well, they will use technology. See? All of that has to take place. And one cannot intervene in that, because those are prophecies that are being fulfilled. So that what Reverend William Branham said here is also fulfilled, because he said, they mocked and laughed. So there must be the equivalent to that now. There has to be people who laugh and mock. Look, they used that word circus a lot. They used the word clown. They used the word that he is an usurper, a false prophet. All those people are fulfilling this prophecy, and they have to carry out this prophecy so that the word does not fall to the ground. See? Everything is simple. Each individual carries out his role. And here he is referring to those people. Therefore, when I read this paragraph, I read it to those people so that they are clearly identified, and the elect can already identify it. They are already catching the prophetic insight, and they are seeing how this scripture, this prophecy, is being fulfilled today. Laughed at the preaching of the word, of the vindicated word of the living God. Why would they mock and laugh? Because there's a preacher bringing the rapturing faith to the elect, and that is what they laugh and mock at. See how simple everything is? When them prophets had stood there and performed miracles, closed the sun and everything else, and all down through the age, see, they cried for the rocks and the mountain to hide them. See, to hide them from the word that they have laughed at. See, they laughed as well, because they seen him come. In other words, now they did realize, whoa, what have we done? Just like Judas Iscariot did. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the Word. See? They have laughed at the Word. Now, how can you laugh at the Word? If the Word, you can say the Word is the Bible. The Word is the message that Reverend William Branham brought. The Word is the message that Dr. William Soto brought. How can you mock the Word? Because the word in each time, when it's being manifested, the word has to be veiled. It has to be manifested in a man. And when it is manifested in a man, that is where the word can be crucified. It can be condemned. It can be mocked. It can be criticized, blasphemed, notice. But as long as it is in letter, form, that cannot be done. But when that word is in fulfillment, and it is in a man, and God putting into action that work being brought by those prophets of the past, then that word brings life, takes on life. And then that is where some reject that word, veiled and vindicated by God, and others reject it. Some receive it to obtain the blessings of his coming. Others reject it, and they receive divine judgment, curses. Because he said in the message, the second coming of the Lord, Reverend William Branham said that he brings blessings in one hand and in other judgment, curse. He comes to reward each one according to what? His work. Therefore, each one will receive the work, that is, for the work he did. They will receive the reward for the work they did. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the Word, see? They had laughed at the Word, and here the Word was incarnate, see? How was the Word in the time of Jesus? Well, incarnate in Jesus. He was the Word walking among the Hebrew people. And they had made fun of it. That is another word they used, made fun of. See, they make fun of, laughed at them, made fun of them. And the incarnate Word was dropped forth. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. It was too far then. So they know that. The punishment. They hear it because they hear. And they heard it. See? They hear everything those prophets had been speaking. In other words, that ministry of Moses and Elijah and that prophet, they had sat in meetings like this. In other words, many of them were there too. And there are still people who, as Brother Branham says in a message, which we will be reading later some portions of, he calls them hypocrites, who are in the activities to snoop around and to go out and gossip outside. Those are real hypocrites, which is better for them to be sincere and leave, and for God's wrath upon them behold there, because otherwise they will be accumulating more and more. It's best for them to be honest with themselves, and it's best for them not to come. Notice, all of that is said clearly so that later on they don't say, I wasn't told anything. Well, God already knows who they are. They can't hide from God's presence, nor from the instrument, and much less from the elect. I say much less because there are so many that are already seeing everything that is happening there, that they are not embarrassed, or they should feel embarrassed to attend the activities and then behind their back speak against what God is doing. Everyone already realizes and knows who they are. It's best that they stay home or somewhere else. So they know that, the punishment. They heard it. They had sat in meetings like this and knowed about it. And they knowed that the things of those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face, the thing that they had rejected. They had spurned mercy for the last time. Now, remember that in order for God to fulfill everything He promised to His church, there cannot be unbelief in the church. Therefore, it will be carried out, and God will be fulfilling all of that in due time when there is no unbeliever. We can say again, no hypocrites there, because otherwise God would not be working in the relevant stages. Now, all of that. Notice, God allows everything so that the time will come when it will be fulfilled. It will be nothing more and nothing less. The time will come when the church will continue to be shaken, shaking her to take away all unbelief from her midst so that He can fulfill. At this end time, what He promised, but as long as there are unbelievers inside, those who are make believers, who are the ones that continue all the way to the end, notice, because it's until the last stage that these squeeze come against the bride, that is when God would then manifest His power. By the time all of that is being carried out, each person would have already gathered his belongings and would leave, would go out, let's say. He would take everything with Him, and He wouldn't be at the stage of that glorious manifestation. Now, all of this in the spiritual realm, and then it will be seen in the physical realm, where arms and legs, all those things will be seen in an international level. By that stage, many will already be crying out and saying what we read there. That is, they will realize it, but it will be already too late. By that time, there will no longer be that mercy of which He said there. Elijah and Moses, he who receives His message receives mercy. By then, there will no longer be mercy. The time of amnesty will have closed. It will be over. In other words, one has to take advantage of those stages of the seventh seal to not lose the opportunity to live even if only eternally. Because whoever crosses the line, which many have already done, they are living. Reverend William Branham says that they are people who, despite being alive, or they are dead while being alive, they will be chunks of walking flesh. It's the same whether we greet them or not, because they don't have life anymore. They are dead to God. Whether one greets them or not is the same thing. That's how serious it is. He talked about it in that message. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to read it sometime. He quoted in the scripture about the woman who washed his feet at the feast that they invited Jesus to, and in a message, he touched on all of this. So I'm just briefly talking about it, where people already, he says, it doesn't matter whether you greet them or not. To God or before God, that's how serious it is when it comes to a person who is dead before God. But the person himself earned it, because since he doesn't belong to the kingdom of God, but instead belongs to the kingdom of darkness, well, he will continue to carry out his work. Now, he continues saying, and the angels left Abraham's place and went on to Sodom to tell Sodom of the pending judgment. Sodom, in return, laughed at the angels and even sought to do evil to the angels. Oh, how like so called churches of the world today, a real God-sent man will come into their city and they will seek to do him evil and hurt rather than stand behind him and back him up and support him and pay heed to the message. But the Bible says they will be like that, speaking of the last days expressly. Men will be lovers of the things of the world, heedy, high-minded, truth-breakers, false accusers, divisors of those who are God. You say, Brother Branham, those people must be communists. No, they're not. They are so-called Christians, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, denying the last day message, denying the supernatural, refusing to pay heed. And he writes there, the message of the last day. Oh, but how blessed to rest in God and to believe and to be rewarded as was Lot and was Noah, chosen by our faithfulness and by his grace to escape. Have you ever read the word this way concerning the great flood? Before one drop of rain fell to earth, Noah went into the ark, and before one ball of fire fell from heaven on Sodom, Lot was taken out of Sodom. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in our day of the coming of the Son of Man. And he draws a Star of David there to the right, and he writes upwards, the coming of the Son of Man. The handwriting is on the wall. Church, wake up! If the writing is on the wall, how close then is the rapture of the church? Think of it. Noah went into the ark for safety, and Lot came out of Sodom for the same reason. One came out, the other went in. What is this type of? Well, I pictured it in my heart as this. It is a type of the church coming out of the world for safety and going into the ark of Christ to sail on to glory. And he writes their ark, Christ. Noah went into the ark of safety, and Christ is the ark of safety. And remember this, before the hail and the darkness and death swept over Egypt, Israel made her way to Goshen, where there was light. Men and women, listen to me, before the day comes and you are left here upon the earth in darkness and judgment, run as hard as you can to the ask for safety, receive his message of mercy. Hurry, said the angel, and escape hither, for I can do nothing till thou hast come out. Notice, and he says, judgment cannot come. Notice how that message of mercy is brought at this end time through the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Notice that angel is the one who tells them to not be partakers of their sins. Now, look, he says, and escape hither, for I can do nothing till thou hast come out. Judgment cannot come. Russia has a missile that will put us in our deathbed. Russia, he says, in the seals, they have a bomb, and it has the name of the United States of America on it. What is it speaking of nationally and spiritually? God is speaking to his church to come hither, for I can do nothing till thou hast come out. God waiting for his church to break down their denominational barriers and come together for a real outpouring of Holy Spirit to lift his church to glory. And he draws a cornerstone on the left. And on the right he writes, Revelation 4, verse 1. I can do nothing till you come thither. And there to the right he had also written, Russia. We must come together that he might unite us into one body and rapture us before the world destruction. And he writes there, the rapture, he is visiting you today, church, in mercy, and while he is, pay heed and receive his message. Come hither away from this man-made Babylonian walls of man-made denominations. Now, look, he is visiting his church today in mercy. He spoke about that on page 22, paragraph 183. He says, the Son of Man is now being revealed. And he writes there with Elijah from heaven, that is the fourth Elijah. Would it come after a while, Brother Branham? It is now, and I hope I won't have to make this so personal on this own meeting. But that your spirit within you, that's given you by God, can read what I'm talking about. The Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing himself for the past few years to his church in mercy, showing them his great presence, doing the same things that he did when he was here on earth, revealing himself like he did to Abraham before the destruction. He has come now in mercy, revealing himself to the church. It's being laughed at and scoffed at the next time, and there he draws a cornerstone above. The next time he reveals himself, now he writes, in the third dispensation. That is where he would reveal himself as the Son of Man again. The next time he reveals himself, it'll be in the judgment on the world and the nations that forgot God and sinned their way of grace, their day of grace, rather, away. And he writes Elijah and Moses. And above the paragraph he writes, he has come from his grace. He has come from his glory, Son of Man, grace and judgment. That is the second manifestation of the Son of Man at this last day in judgment. That is the time in which he would reveal himself as the Son of Man. But notice, in that dispensational interlace, there is a stage within the dispensation of the kingdom at the start when he is in mercy, because we are still in these bodies, and therefore, there must be mercy for the bride. That is where that mercy seat comes into the picture. The church cannot be left exposed. There had to be something provided by God at this end time while he is carrying out that claiming work as Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because in heaven, there is silence. There is no activity there. The work of redemption is already over. We are in the stage of the claim, of gathering, and of separating the wheat from the tares. Now, he goes on to say here, he is visiting you today, church, in mercy, and while he is, pay heed and receive his message. Come hither away from these man-made Babylonian walls of man-made denominations. Run away from man-made theology and creeds. Run to the middle of God's grace and scream for mercy. For it is the blood of his Son that will save you. Get away from your old doubting nature, your superstitions. Pay heed and flee to the middle of his grace and live. For I say unto you, the walls of man-made denominations will crumble and perish with the unbelieving world. But righteous Lot and righteous Noah were taken out, and so will the church of the living God be taken out. If you pay heed, you will not see one atomic bomb, and not one weapon of destruction will come nigh thee. You will be safe in God's great kingdom. Can't you feel the pull of God's Spirit trying to get you away from all this man-made in a slumbering church to give you by His living Spirit? Blessed be the Lord. He's opening our eyes. We are coming forth. Dear God, revive us as we come hither. And he writes there, Noah and Lot equals the foolish virgins. And on the right, he writes, shaking. Now, look, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, in the message that we are reading, time to be in a safe place. He says, Son of Man is the title of a prophet. That is why we find that God called Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and other prophets, Son of Man, because that speaks to us of the manifestation of Christ, the angel of the covenant, through human flesh. That is why when Christ was on earth, he called himself the Son of Man, and that is why he spoke so much about himself as the Son of Man, because he was a prophet. On page 120 of the Book of Quotations, on paragraph 1069, he tells us, Now, notice, Jesus said that would come again, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Again, the Spirit of God will come upon mortal, human flesh, that man eat the meat of calf, drinking the milk from cow, and eat butter and bread in human flesh. And Abraham said he was Elohim, God manifested in human flesh. Jesus promised that God before his coming would be manifested in human flesh again, that is the Holy Spirit. There is only one God manifesting himself, separating again Lot from Abraham. See, it's that angel bringing separation, the segregation, which he spoke about it on page 143 of the Book of Quotations. And you already know that scripture. Let's see, 141, paragraph 1260. It's that ministry of the angels to bring separation. He says, an angel is coming to bring what? The separation. And above he had written, Moses and Elijah, the gathering and harvest. In other words, he comes separating, but comes gathering at the same time, because the wheat is gathered and the tares will also be bound in bundles. See? In other words, it is a time of separation and a time of gathering. Now, he goes on to say in 1069 from page 120, Lot wanted the world, and God tore up his world and separated Abraham and Lot, Lot being a type of a carnal believer who didn't think these things were true. He just went down in Sodom. Lot was just a penny. Abraham was a silver dollar. So it taken 100 lots to make an Abraham. Now, look, not even all those who are against the divine program at this time combined, not even all the unbelievers combined, can begin to measure up to one son or daughter of God. So, all of that could be represented, 100 lots, one Abraham. Well, if there are more than 100 believers or make believers, there is already a slightly larger group, then it will be 100, and if there is another 100, then there will be two Abrahams, and there will be another 100, that will be 300, there will be three. Now imagine, not even 300 people combined can begin to measure up to three children, elect of God. So you cannot be discouraged by anything or by anyone, by them being against, and by what they are doing against the tent or the messianic ministry under the tent, or against an elect. Rather, you have to say, I have that position he mentioned there about Abraham. To reach me, it takes 100 of this man who is speaking, or of that woman who is saying that. In other words, imagine that is not even a thousandth of anything. A single person in comparison to an elect, it will take 100 of that kind of person, of that spirit of the fifth dimension, to reach one elect. Look at how valuable you are. Therefore, everything they do can't even make a dent slightly diminish. That's nothing compared to what they can do to an elect, because it will take 100 of them to measure up to one. So imagine that. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, that is how the first coming of the Lord, the first coming of Christ, and that is how the second coming of Christ will be. For Christ said that as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And that will be none other than the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ to His people, to His church, and they will be standing before the Son of Man, those who will be founded upon the rock, who will be in the stage relevant to the last day, which is the stage of the age of the cornerstone in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be seeing the glory of God being manifested at the last day in the coming of the Son of Man with His angels. And the angels are the ministries of the two olive trees, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Under that ministry, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be completed, and the 144,000 Hebrews will also be called, 12,000 of each tribe. If it's under that ministry, then God must have the instrument through which He will be operating that ministry to fulfill that promise. On page 127 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1127, he says, "And we find out here that God has always had skin on Him. When Moses seen Him, He had skin on Him, looked like a man. When God was behind the curtains, He had skin on Him. And God, tonight, in His church, is veiled in His church with skin on it. He is still the same God tonight. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, deity veiled again in human flesh." Now, remember, Jesus didn't say when the Son of God is being revealed in Luke chapter 17, I believe, and about 21st verse, somewhere along there, He said, "And when the Son of Man is being revealed, the Son of Man, back in the church again, revealed in human beings, not Son of God, but the Son of Man again." Son of God was during the dispensation of grace. But the Son of Man again, back in His church again in the last days. And He writes there on top, the coming of the Son of Man equals deity veiled in flesh. The coming of the Son of Man equals deity veil in flesh. And further on in this same message, he says, it is there, in the safe place, that the dead in Christ will resurrect in glorified bodies, and we who are alive will be transformed. Those people will be the ones who will be standing before the Son of Man and will have been found worthy to escape all these divine judgments that are to come during the Great Tribulation, and to stand before the Son of Man to go with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We have seen this subject. It's already time to be in the safe place. In this teaching of this occasion, today, Friday, October 17 of this year, 2025, let's stand and let's leave in this subject, which we have been speaking about in this Bible study. It's already time to be in a safe place. Our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.